I just want to really encourage you guys. It's great to see what God is busy doing in the lives of these athletes. Actually, it's our mistake that they are not on that brochure. They're part of the Cyrus Trust, and we'll make sure through the next round send out their details to you as well. It's just awesome to see what God is busy doing all over the world in just raising up people to glorify His name. And I want to encourage you, you know, if you know about people that can support them, I know that there's some underprivileged kids as well that cannot come to the Olympics at this stage if they don't get some breakthroughs as well. So, Fani, you guys are really doing an awesome job. Thanks for traveling 2 hours this afternoon to be here with us as well. I know it's a lot of effort for you guys because you are competing tomorrow night.
Tuesday night.
Okay, yeah, as a practice for the Olympics. So it's great to have you here. Yeah, it's great to be here, and it's great to see what God is busy doing in the church. I want to encourage you this afternoon and really speak from my heart. I had a great time this morning at Tooting. Where is David now?
Inside.
Oh, is he at the kids? Okay, it was great to be there with the dedication of their kid as well. And just to experience the love of the hearts of those people. Hey, David and Sally really extended their hearts to us, and I can see that the people love the work that they are busy doing there as well. So I want to just quickly share with you out of Mark chapter 14, verse 3 to 9. If you can just turn, if you've got your Bibles here, please rather follow the Bible than the slides above, because I'm going to read some extra scriptures as well. Verse 3 to 9. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, listen to this, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Let's just close our eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, this afternoon we want to just extend our hearts, Father God, toward you. And Father, just be focused on your presence in our lives. Father, we don't want to play church. Father, we don't want to miss living lives of sacrifice and glorification to your name. I want to ask you, Father, that each one of us will understand and know your purposes for our lives. That we will be able to walk a life of purpose and destiny within you, so that not one life will be wasted in this room. Father, I know that your heart is to see us, Father God, really prosper in this lifetime. Not according to the worldly standards, but Father, according to a life of fulfillment and contentment in you. And I want to pray right now, Father, that we will have the privilege to live in this life and see the fruit of you operating through our lives. And I want to pray, Father, that you will just take this church from glory to glory. Not, Father, for the glorification of us as a movement even, but, Father, for your name's sake. Father, thank you that we can walk in this city and that we can proclaim the word of God upon this city. Father, we know that there's a purpose for us being here. We know that every one of us, Father, do count in your economy. And therefore, I pray now that you will tonight just speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, give us the opportunity to get onto your page and your agenda. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus, at this stage of his ministry, was sitting together with his disciples around the table. They spent some time with this leprous man that then got healed through the ministry of Jesus. A very special time, and actually an urgent time in the ministry of Jesus, because it was 4 days before his death. And now, with that urgency, Jesus was busy proclaiming the things that he stood for the 3 years past with his disciples, making sure that they actually grasped the things that he said. What was special is the fact that Mary, one of the women that surrounded Jesus all the time, was the sister of Lazarus. We know Lazarus, the one that that actually got raised by Jesus. And also then the sister of Martha, which I will talk about later. But Mary then, understanding exactly what Jesus wanted to do at this moment. It was 4 days before the death of Jesus. And I can tell you that it was also just before Passover. So it meant that for 4 days, every lamb that had to be slaughtered for the sins of the people, every family had to take one lamb without blemish for 4 days, scrutinize that little lamb to see if there's any broken bone or any blemish to that lamb. They would bring the lambs into Jerusalem. So at this specific day, while Jesus was sitting around the table with them, the lambs came into Jerusalem. Special time, because Jesus then said to them, "You don't understand what this woman is actually doing right now, and the significance of this moment in my life, and the destiny and purpose that God bestowed upon me for the whole of humankind." And so, a lot of the disciples at that stage, you know, try to make sums around Jesus, as all of us so often do when it gets to the things of Jesus. Try to reason out what's happening here. This woman is busy using the most, you know, expensive oil on the head of Jesus. It's about a year's wages that she is busy wasting. And you know what? Even above that, that was the only thing that a woman would take into her marriage to anoint her husband when they would get married, to make sure that he is then the anointed one. So it was quite precious, because for a woman to give that up meant that her whole destiny and purpose lied within what Jesus was busy doing. She could not worry at all if she could just focus on the agenda that Jesus is busy proclaiming right here, right now. And you know, I often find myself as well, and I know that us in the kingdom, we get to the same place where we get confronted and actually exposed in moments like this. You know, that we so like to be in control in this life and make sure that even the resources and the abilities that we have, and I'm so glad to see what God is busy doing through young people like Fani, giving everything that they have and put it on the table and say, "God, use it for your benefit. If I win or lose, it doesn't matter as long as you are glorified." Because, you know, it's like a pendulum in our lives. And I'm just reminded, I remember when I was a small child still, getting to one of my aunts there in Stellenbosch, actually a very grand aunt that would, on her piano, would have one of these metronomes, a pendulum. You know what that is? Those who does you know, a piano or things like that would know. It's keeping the time. For those who don't know, it makes tick, tock, tick, tock. It's not like the modern electronic stuff that you get. And that tick, tock, tick, tock, would then give you the rhythm that you must key by. Okay, but now, very important, in our lives is exactly the same. There's a pendulum in which the bottom half or the bottom part of this is selfishness. Where if I can stay in control of my life and I can dictate my circumstances, then I can control the destiny and the purpose that I have in this lifetime. The dreams that I have, that I can control that to the benefit of myself. But the pendulum goes two sides. The one is the one of total control and arrogance, where we so often, you know, find ourselves and thinking, you know, I've got everything in control, and nothing, nobody can withheld this from me. Like Fani said, that moment where you thought, I've done this before. I've got 2 gold medals already behind me. How can this go wrong? But the other side of the pendulum is the one of self-pity. Where we find ourselves in thinking, you know, I will just never establish anything. I'm just not good enough. When it comes to kingdom perspective and kingdom things, I just don't have the ability to be successful. But you know what? Still, the basis is still the same of self-control and selfishness. And we normally see this manifesting in our lives, you know, by things that we can control, like relationships, being the boss at work, you know, deciding and manipulating people to do whatever we want them to do, or being financial security, having finances to control our destiny. If I have the finances, I can make the decisions for my own life that will dictate my life and where I'm going. But still, it stays the same. And therefore, this is the moment where Jesus is confronting people to say to them, listen, don't you understand? For 3 years I've been around you, and still you are making sums when it gets to my purpose and destiny of what God has to offer for humankind. Certainly, after 3 years, I want you to understand this. And we see the urgency in the heart of Jesus when he went to go and pray, and still his disciples didn't understand. Still trying to sleep, falling for the flesh, and Jesus says, it's not time to sleep, it's time to focus. So the frustration in the heart of Jesus was quite adamant at this stage. And I can tell you, the one person that Jesus was satisfied with was this Mary. And he says, She has done it to me. She's totally on my agenda. She understands that the risk is not finding favor with man. But if she can focus on doing things for me, she gets onto my page. This was also the time when Jesus, just that same morning, got into Jerusalem with the lambs, and the palm branches were thrown before Jesus. And people said, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of Kings. It was the same people that took Jesus 4 days after that to the cross. But still, Jesus said, if there's one person understanding where I'm heading, it's Mary. Something else is in the meanwhile happening. As they were sitting, there was the sister in the kitchen, Martha. And Martha was quite cross with what was busy happening here with Jesus. Because Mary is taking all the shine while she has to work very hard in the kitchen. And I tell you tonight, you know what, it's not about the fact that, and we often say to one another that we think that it's about Martha being the one that always work and do a lot of things, but she don't get to the feet of Jesus, and it's not about that. What is busy happening here is Jesus is saying to her, I don't have a problem with you, Martha, being in the kitchen. It's a noble thing to do. If that is what I've called you to do, do it. But Martha, I've got a problem with you having a problem with Mary, because Mary is doing what is on her agenda for me. And on my agenda for humankind. Understand that if you are in the place of significance, of fulfillment, of contentment within me, you will find the worth of life. And that is what Jesus was so, you know, agitated with, because he wanted Martha to understand that, Martha, let's just refocus here. I'm happy with you. I love you. We so often in the Church of Jesus Christ find ourselves where we don't even allow one another to get to where Jesus wants us to be. I want to tell you the significance of life, the success of life is not determined by what we have or what position we have and even the relationships around us and the significance thereof. But if I want to drill a hole in that wall, I can't use a pencil. Why not? Are you with me tonight? Why not? It's not the right tool. It's going to break. If I use the right thing, there will be a hole in the wall. And I often find that we as Christians are so focused on the people around us and what we don't get to, that we forget that God has a certain purpose for us. And if we step into it, we will find contentment. We will get that hole in the wall if you are a drill. But find your place. And therefore, I find that even Christians among one another, that we are so judgmental toward one another that we don't get to our fruition. We often judge people according to their actions, but ourselves according to our intentions. Are you with me tonight? We judge others according to their actions, but ourselves according to our intentions. It means that when somebody comes to you and confront you with, wronging against them, we often say to them, yes, but I didn't mean it that way. We measure ourselves according to our intentions. But you, let's talk about the things that you did wrong against me. I can even recall 2 years ago, and I've got the paper to prove it. I've got this and this and this and this incident that I can tell you of that you wronged against me. Judging people according to their actions, but ourselves according to our intentions. And I want to say to you, you know what, in the body of Christ, we don't have the liberty to do that anymore. Christ wants us to fight for relationship. He wants us to understand that, Martha, just shut up. You don't understand where I'm at this stage. If there's anything that I want you to understand, it's just to have a compassion for the fact that I'm going to the cross. But the Church of Jesus so often get distracted by so many things and stuff that we forget what it's all about. Jesus is going to the cross. He went to the cross for the salvation of every person on this planet. Our biggest battle, and this time, is not about right or wrong even, but to understand the agenda and the heart of Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying it's, you know, that we should not stand for what is right and do great things for the Lord. And it is actually a time when we should. But we must examine our hearts and understand that if you don't experience the agenda of Jesus, don't go to war. And therefore, it says in verse 8, she did what she could. She surrendered her possessions and ability to Jesus to glorify his name. One of the biggest signs of maturity, I can tell you, with any Christian, is if they understand exactly what Christ has called them to do in this lifetime. And I can tell you, I'm not there yet. I want to know what God has exactly called me to. I want to experience the favor of God upon my life, and I'm seeking, I'm knocking, I'm asking God, But I can tell you, you know what? There's so many men in the faith that did understand exactly what Christ has called them to. And one of those people are Peter. You read 2 Peter 1 verse 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, die, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Is that not a sign of maturity? Knowing exactly when the end of your journey here on earth comes because you already did what God has called you to do. And this is what Paul said so many times in the Word in Acts 20 verse 24. He says the same, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel and the grace of God. There's a race. Amen. There's an urgency. I can tell you, people, if there's anything tonight that I can tell you, it's that there's an urgency in the spirit, and the spiritual climate is busy rising. For sure. All over the world, I go to many churches because that's my job. But I can tell you, I go beyond shofar churches, and it's all everywhere the same. There's an urgency. The spiritual climate is rising to a phase where if you don't choose to live radically for Jesus or not, you know, you're just going to fall along the way. So, and I can now tell you that it counts for churches as well. We as a church must not think that we, you know, are the bee's knees at all. Because when it comes to Christ, Christ is busy moving with an agenda and an urgency in these last days that is just awesome. It gives me an excitement to see the kind of people that is being raised up for the kingdom. The kind of people that is excited about the heartbeat of Jesus. To hear that, listen, and it's not about doing good things for the Lord and great stuff, but to promptly do the things of Jesus in the right season, in the right time. And I'm excited. I can tell you, it's exciting times that we are living in. What she has done will also be told. There's an eternal purpose that Mary then committed herself to. Her eternal race that Jesus even says, she will be remembered for as long as the gospel will be told. There's a legacy that she leaves behind. But you know what? What is sad to me is that at the meantime, in this piece of scripture, while this woman is so focused, we read in verse 10, and I quickly want to ask you for a Bible. It's not on the... Is there anyone with a Bible here? A kosher Bible, please. Thanks, eh? Mark, just quickly go with me to Mark chapter 14 again. Are you still awake? Matthew, Mark, chapter 14. I'm going to read verse 9 again. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. But listen to the next verse, and this really struck my mind when I read it. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. Okay, people, this is actually a revelation. Because while all of this is happening and Jesus is connecting to the hearts of these people, Judas is making sums. And his heart gets exposed around Mary. When for 3 years he walked with Jesus all of the way, he experienced the miracle, so it's not as if he couldn't say that this man is extraordinary. He saw the purposes of God being displayed through Jesus, and still he was busy scheming and conniving and making some reasoning in his mind about what is happening here. And when his heart gets exposed, he actually went to action to where his heart was at that moment. He went to the opposition. He went to those that in society's eyes is making the right decisions. He went to the people that Jesus so often said, they don't understand my agenda. It's like playing Monopoly on a chess game. It's not working together. If Jesus has an agenda, I can tell you, if you're not on his page, you will find yourself like Judas, being in the place of scheming and conniving and reasoning your way through life. And I get so many Christians that is busy reasoning themselves through this Christian walk, and they miss the point. It's not about the goosebumps we get when we read the Word of God and we start to agree with it. But you know what? It's that place where we find ourselves at the agenda of Jesus Christ, which even means that we expose ourselves in front of and even at the risk of being foolish. And this is what Mary is busy doing. Mary is not going the way that Judas is going at all. Let me just tell you, just the same piece of scripture in John chapter 12, his account on this moment. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box and he used to take what was put into it. Judas was busy self-indulging, feeding self, feeding the bottom of this pendulum so nicely. My agenda. I've got a dream as well. I've got a great plan for my life. But it's when he gets back after receiving the money that it struck him. I was exposed to the greatest thing in my life, and still I took it for granted. I want to tell you tonight, you know what, this story is as old as anything. If you go and read about the prodigal son, exactly the same thing actually happened. It was this one young son that said, I can go and do my own thing. Being here on the farm, you know, it's great and everything. There's a lot of security. But I can actually do so much more. Serving my own vision and do my own thing. He went away from the father to then, after a while, come back. There was a son at home, the Martha. The one that counted every little piece of effort for the kingdom. And I want to tell you, you know what? It's scary when it gets to the kingdom. Listen to how people speak. Are they talking about the sacrifices and how they lay down their life for Christ? Because it's an orange light. I can tell you, it's not about what we do for Christ. It's not about the 2 hours that we drive, travel, to do anything for Jesus, because in his economy, you know what? He's done it all. But for us, I can tell you tonight, we often miss it. We are exactly the same than that brother that stayed at home, busy just making the sums and trying to, around Jesus, be very clever and look like he's got everything in control. But the Mary coming back, the younger son coming back, the worshiper, the one that knows that, listen, let me just bow my knee and just follow whatever the Father wants me to do, but I'm going back to the Father's house. Because when I'm in the Father's house, it's not about the clever ideas or doing things the way that, you know, it should be done. It's about understanding the heart, the heartbeat of the Father. It's about understanding that, you know what, in my Father's house, at least, I knew the provision of the revelation and the agenda of the Father. And we as Christians so often miss the point about what's Christianity all about. Trying to reason our way forward and try to explore what life is all about. The blessing tonight is understanding that Christianity is actually very foolish. To follow Jesus sometimes looks like foolishness in the eyes of the world. There's a risk. And I can tell you, many of you are here at that risk. You came from wherever. You said to yourself, you know, I feel in my heart, really, God wants me here. But that's a precious place to be. That place when you say, listen, I cannot explain actually why I'm doing this foolish thing. I was just thinking this morning, David Dean, being a doctor, a medical doctor, and he chose to follow his prompting of what God wants for his life, being a pastor now. Not that being a pastor is not nice. But we all know what it's about. There's a place that you and I must make some conscious decisions of following Jesus Christ and do exactly what is on his heart. And it's costing us in the eyes of the world. Because naturally, it doesn't make sense. But for Mary, it does. For Mary, it's precious because Mary can say, listen, you know what? If I've got nothing left, I still am at the place of contentment where I can follow Jesus. And Jesus says, that is the place that I want you to be. Let's just quickly stand. Because tonight, we're not playing church. And I want to really tell you, I'm going through the same motions. God is challenging me. I often find the Judas within myself having such great vision. And such great plans for my life. I was actually just the other day asking the Lord, Lord, I actually just want to go and plant a church, but now I must be here and do some office work and being more in an office capacity. And God said to me, you know what, whatever. Just appreciate, you know, the moment, the thing that God is busy doing in your life. Because now, and I can tell you that, you know, faith is not about yesterday and about, you know, one day and about. Faith is living whatever Christ has in store for your life right now. If you dream for things to happen one day, you won't get to the place of appreciation of what God is busy doing today. Because even leaving this place, I can tell you this afternoon, you'll be confronted with the fact that today can pass and still you don't engage in that which Christ has called you to. Weeks can pass. And still, I spoke to Johan just now. I said to him, you know what? Actually, he said to me, you know, just spending time with your kids. Is it not so that it's not about how much time you spend, but the way in which you engage, the way in which you find one another's hearts. Because you can spend a lot of time together and still miss one another by a mile. Me and my wife, we often remind one another that it's not about the time that we have together. It's about making that time count. Because if we can get that right, His purpose in this life. And I want to ask you tonight, you know what? Being Mary means that Mary will not let one moment pass. In understanding that Jesus, actually, if you want me to go to the kitchen and do the dishes, I'll do that as well. As long as I know that that is what you are asking me to do. If that is significant in the eyes of the moment, of your purpose. Let's just bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, tonight I want to thank you for being Lord over our lives. I want to thank you, Father, that I can just bring every person here tonight. And I want to ask you, Father God, with all of the reasoning and trying to figure this walk with you even out, I know that there's something that you want to tell each one of us tonight, that you love us, that you love us, that you love us. That in the midst of Israel and their captivity, that you would say to them, I still have plans to prosper you. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you. And tonight, in the name of Jesus, Father, I know that you are dreaming good dreams. You are planning a great destiny for each one of us. You are dancing around us, Jesus. Every day you are tirelessly raising up your church to become the church that you, without blemish, want to present to the world. And what a privilege it is to be part of it. And Jesus, tonight, in the name of Jesus, we lay down our lives. We want to say to you, Father, we don't want to play church. We don't want to do things that is out of your will. But Father, we want to connect with your heart speak. Every time being at the prompting of your spirit, being in step exactly where your spirit is leading us. And I want to pray, Father God, tonight for people in this place, Father, that's not in step with you. With even hardened hearts, Father God, that is putting up a visage, Father God, of everything is all right. And still knowing that there's no purpose in life without you. And Father, tonight I pray in the name of Jesus, stir our hearts. Let your Holy Spirit bring us into step with your Spirit. Make this generation, Father, truly to be worshippers like Mary. Father God, worshippers that can truly live and worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask for your Spirit to just reconnect us to the heartbeat of your agenda. Make us excited again about the things that stirs your heart, your heartbeat. I want to ask you, Jesus, tonight, walk here in our midst and let your presence change us, transform us. May tonight, Father, be one of those moments where we can just again say that without our Lord, there's no life. Let's keep our eyes closed. Because tonight, you know what, I'm just trusting the Lord for one thing that will stir in your heart. And that is to run to the Father. That you will run back to the Father. That you will run into His arms. And that tonight you will say, Father, I don't know how this thing is going to unfold. I don't know the answers. It feels like life is too complicated. The decisions that I have to make is just too complicated. But still tonight, Jesus, I'm willing to give you the chance to transform me, to change my heart, my mind. I'm laying down these thoughts, this reasoning, and I'm asking you, Jesus, that all of the reasoning and the visage, Father God, tonight will fall away so that I will connect in heart with your heartbeat. If you are standing here tonight and you know that the Holy Spirit is prompting you in your heart, you know that He's touching you. You know that maybe some of you are here tonight and you don't even know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You don't even worry about destiny and purpose now. You actually just want to get to Jesus. Then I want you to raise your hand and be very brave tonight. I want to ask you, don't reason now. Just allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. Is there any such person tonight? Maybe you've been at the place where you had a great relationship with Jesus in the past, but you became just as judgmental as the older son, because sacrifice and self-worth was more important than staying connected with the heartbeat of Jesus. If that is you, just raise your hand where you're standing. I want to ask you now, while we are standing now, that can you maybe just play us a worship song as we just connect with the Lord? And we're going to end off with this song. But I want to ask you, don't leave this place if you know that the Holy Spirit is talking to you tonight. Because one of the things is that is important when it gets to getting onto that Monopoly game or that chess game on the same platform that where Jesus is busy operating the rules and the playground that He has set out for us, is to fight against these thoughts of accusation against you, to say, listen, you can do it later. Listen, you're fine, but you know in your heart you're not fine. And tonight I want to just make sure to pray with you. Not to see you doing hula hoops or whatever. I cannot do anything for you, but I can tell you, if you connect with Jesus, things start to change. Destiny and purpose strike you. You start to live with another mindset. And don't leave tonight this place without making right with Him. Amen? Great. Let's sing this song. Now I want to ask you, come to the front just so that we can pray with you. Amen. Mm-hmm.